It is Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, driven by Hyundai. We're the Fan Morning Show. Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, and Jim Colony, who's live from Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. And our training camp coverage is brought to you by Sendell Motors of Greensburg, where experience means a great deal. Let's go out to our Rivertown hotline and welcome in our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. That's Ed Bouchette, who is brought to you by Wright GMC and Matt Libman Office Equipment. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Greg. Hello, fellas.
Hey, Ed, and we have a lot to talk to you about, especially the birthday celebration. But let's first start with the game Friday night as far as the injuries go. Seems like a lot of bumps and bruises. The only serious one, Ike Taylor, deciding to have surgery on that thumb. How confident are you that he will be able to play in week one, September 11th, against the Ravens?
You know, I'm trying to remember which defensive back it was, Greg. Maybe a couple of them. I've been around so long, you know. I saw one once play with a club on his hand. I think he broke his hand or something, and he was out there covering receivers. And as we all know, Ike isn't big at catching the ball anyway. So I think he's going to be fine. If tomorrow were the regular season, he probably would not start. But he's got almost a month, so he should be okay.
Ed, should we take it as a good sign that both Harrison and Polamalu have been cleared to practice? Are they going to be ready to go once September 11th comes around?
You know, Paul, that's one of those things we're going to have to watch all year long. Now, we've been told Polamalu's fine, that he's going to be fine. He's over that injury. But as you know, Troy, the way he plays and everything else has come down with a variety of injuries through the years. So, and he's 30 now. You know, he's not going to be less susceptible to them. So I think Troy's always going to be a guy you have to watch for injuries, as he plays. Harrison, it still bothers me that back was giving him some trouble early on. He was complaining about it, the tingling and everything else. Now he didn't, you know, he didn't miss anything last year with it, and then had two surgeries on it. He's 32 years old now, and playing in a position in which leverage means a great deal, and pressure on that back as you take on 340-pound offensive tackles. So, that's great that he's been cleared. But it's going to be bear watching.
And there was another development. We saw it a little bit, I think, at training camp last week with Tony Hills getting a few looks at right guard. But, boy, I didn't expect to see him at right guard as often as I did on Friday. And then he was there yesterday getting all the first-team reps. Is that something that is a possibility on the offensive line?
Well, I think it shows their search for a right guard is wide open, and they're looking for anyone and everyone there other than Willie Colon. And if Willie were not the starting right tackle, they'd probably be using him there as well. He's a possibility. Scott's a possibility. Ramon Foster remains a possibility. I don't think they're going to put Ligurski there on a full-time basis, even though they said he could compete, because I don't think he's big enough on a full-time basis. And he's a good, valuable backup at both center and guard. So, he could win it. Although I suggested Sunday he should be there, and he could be in the running for their number two tight end.
It is Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. We're talking to our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, Ed Bouchette. How ticked off was Mike Tomlin after this game? Was that sort of him using this first preseason game as an opportunity to jumpstart this team, or was he legitimately angry with their performance, in your opinion?
Greg, when you're around Mike, if you don't know the words he's speaking, you don't know if he's angry or not most of the time. And until he said that he was, you know, not happy, you couldn't tell he wasn't happy. So, you know, he knows it's the first preseason game. He knows that they didn't play well. But he also knows that he lost about half of his defense. You know, four starters. I think there were four starters. There were Harrison and Polamalu and McFadden out. And then he lost two more during that first drive, Ryan Clark and Ike Taylor. So I don't think it's a big concern at this point.
How do you see Cotchery fitting in? Will there be a pecking order, and how much of this has to do with Emmanuel Sanders and the feet?
Well, you know, Paul, Greg and I had a debate on this on the pregame show, because, you know, Greg is familiar with him and familiar with his play, but I just don't I don't see him cracking the top two. You know, that's a given, unless there's injuries. And now let's go to number three. Are you going to retard Sanders' development and his effectiveness by using him? And now you have two slot receivers out of your top three, which is what they were doing last year with Antoine Randle-El. But then the two young guys came on. Barring injuries, I don't see that happening. However, you know, they're going to want to get him in. That's why they signed him. They're going to want to get him in. So I think they might go to a lot of five wide, work him in a slot, sometimes on four wide, depending on the down and distance. But I just don't see him playing a huge role other than, you know, injury.
Speaking of playing bigger roles, Ed, Ike Redman had a nice touchdown run against Washington. It's the kind of run that we see him make up here fairly routinely during training camp. Is that going to be enough coming against somebody else to get him more carries when it counts?
You know what, Jim, I think he is now clearly the number two running back ahead of Mwelde. So in that sense, I do think he'll get more carries. But they do want to give Rashard his carries. So I don't think they're going to give Isaac, you know, whatever, a lot of carries. Well, they call him Ike. I call him Isaac. I don't think they're going to give him a lot of carries, but I think he's going to maybe pick up some that Mwelde would have had in the past.
How impressed have you been with Antonio Brown thus far?
You know, he's been impressive since they started using him. They didn't use him a lot at the beginning of last year, as you know, Greg, and he came in great shape. He's a good kid. He's focused on his job, as much kidding around as we do and they do about the Young Money stuff and everything else. He's really working at his craft, and it shows. Sixth round pick, he's just been tremendous, and he keeps coming on, and he has the talent. The only thing he doesn't have, he's not tall, but there's not a tall receiver on his team outside of Heath Miller, so it doesn't matter much.
Ed, one of these corners, or maybe a couple of them, you know, considering Ike's situation and really just considering their overall lack of depth and talent at corner, I guess the young guys, Allen and Brown, have been cleared to practice. Keenan Lewis is now practicing a little bit more. Don't one of these guys have to emerge as a guy that can actually play?
Well, you'd think so, Paul. My bet is on Keenan Lewis. The rookies, as I've said often, you know, they're way behind because of the lack of spring practices and the rookies and everything else. Keenan is in his third year, and this is his time. This is his time to make his move. He was hurt a little bit, nothing serious. During training camp, I think it was a hamstring, if I remember. But it's his time to make the move. He has the talent. That's why they picked him in the third round. That's why he's still on a team, because of his potential. And, well, it's time for him to step up and show it. So he's the guy, I would think, that has the best chance of maybe emerging from this group.
Now, Ed, I could ask you about Daniel Sepulveda, because I know how much you love to, you know, spending fourth-round draft picks on punters, and he did have a good game on Friday, but nowhere near as good as your game on Saturday. I want you to explain to everybody how you managed to surprise the people who were going to surprise you at your surprise party.
Well, you know, first of all, if you have that many people, you should have all the doors covered to the entrance to this place. There's only three doors, Jim. Three doors to get in. They were all surging to the front. Well, you know, I lumbered in the back because I parked in the back. I came through the kitchen, much like Robert Kennedy's assassin. And I came through the
Sirhan,
kitchen.
Sirhan, Ed Bouchette.
And the first, I just thought of that too.
Yeah,
the first, first guy I see at this, I'm supposed to be helping a buddy out. His car broke down. That was how they got me there. First guy I see is Jim Colony. And I go,
wow.
Oh, how about that? Jim's here. And it didn't confuse me that much because Jim has been in Monroeville with me in the past on several occasions. And I just thought, hey, he must be, you know, passing through here on the way to camp or something. I don't know. But then I saw Bob Smizek standing with Jim, and I go, what the heck is this? And then all these people are looking out the front door. I go over to Jim and said, "Hey, Jim, how you doing? What are you doing here?" And Jim hollers out, "Hey, he's back here." So I surprised my own surprise party. But that it was all fun. It was great.
It was tremendous.
It was good having Jim there. And a lot of friends surprised. Tom McMillan and I go back years. We were sports writers together in Greensburg. He was there, and Steve Alvonik. I don't want to name everybody because I'll miss somebody. But
that was fun.
You know, Bob Pompieri and his lovely wife were there. It was about 50 people. It was fun.
Ed, thanks for the time. As always, we will talk to you soon.
But, Greg, you weren't there.
I wasn't invited.
No.
Oh, well, I can't blame you. Can't blame me. I didn't invite people.
No,
and
I understand.
Boo, you know, okay. I had some family obligations. I would have loved to have been there.
I know, Paul, and you live right there.
I do. That was a home game for me, and I missed it.
Hey, you can always have family obligations. You'll never have another chance at a party like that.
That's very true.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Take care,
Eddie. Birthday boy.
All right.
There goes Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider from the Post Gazette, brought to you by Wright GMC and Mount Lebanon Office Equipment. And a very funny story how Jim and Smizek broke the story that Ed had shown up at his own surprise party.
Through the back door.
Right, through the back door. That is very funny.